Yeah, 21-11 here. Kevin Wolf going greyhounds. John Brash is with us and fresh off a fabulous day yesterday, I'm sure. John, good morning to you. The greyhound racing down the straight on the grass, Capalabar. What a day it must have been for you.
Yes, good morning to you, Kevin. Good morning to our listeners. Yes, breaking new ground in Queensland yesterday with TAB, Sky and radio coverage of Capalabar here in Brisbane, and what a great success it was. A great crowd turned out. They were there in their droves around 8:30 in the morning when I got there. The first Queensland time was at 9:35, so it was an early kickoff, but many a face that I haven't seen on a greyhound track for many years. Not only were the owners, trainers, participants involved yesterday, but there were many onlookers, and we also had local politicians. We had the Minister for Racing there, and it was a great day all round at Capalabar, and I'm sure day one was a great success, and I'm sure it's only on and on upwards for the Capalabar Greyhound Racing Club, and we'll talk about that a little later with one of our guests. Over the last week in greyhound racing, there's been many good performances. Last Tuesday, we saw the Goulburn Cup final, $20,000 going to Scientific Man, trained by Mark Wilcox in 24.53. It was Mark's third success in the Goulburn Cup as a winning trainer. The other feature race on the program there was the Fireball, taken out by the Anthony Asapati, trained Murnyong and all, winning in 19.35. On Thursday night in Brisbane, we saw the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, and it was taken out by Hasten Slowly for Angela Langton in 29.67, defeating the evergreen Cosmic Bonus and Miss Splendor Miro. The favourite was in third position. At Sandown Park on Thursday night, we saw Poke the Bear for the Thompson family going the sixth fastest run ever at Sandown in 29.02. So Poke the Bear is still in great form. On Saturday night in Melbourne, we saw the Ballarat Cup final and a last-to-first victory by Aston Cometto for Shona Thompson, running 24.94. He's a great one-turn track and a horseshoe track performer, and Aston Cometto coming from absolute last to score. At Wentworth Park on Saturday night, the Group 3 Summer Cup final, and Poco Dorado didn't let her supporters down, scoring again, and a great performance by Johnny Finn in trifectoring that race with the leader. We'll talk to winning owner Peter McDermott in just a moment. Heats of the Christmas Gift were run at Wentworth Park on Saturday night as well. The winners there were Nangar Blaze in 29.85, Dynamo's Double in 29.99, My Mate Fox in 30.12, and Femme Filet scoring in 29.97. And we had six heats of the Laurels in Melbourne yesterday at Sandown Park. The quickest heat winner there was Shimmer Breeze in 29.32. Another impressive winner was Black Opium in 29.45. So they were some of the most notable performances in the last 7 days or so. But back to Wentworth Park on Saturday night, and as I mentioned, the Summer Cup final was run, and Poco Dorado was the winner there, and we've got winning owner Peter McDermott coming online to join us again this week. Peter, good morning to you, and congratulations.
Yes, good morning, John. Thanks very much. Yeah, it was a very exciting night down there at Winnie Park on Saturday night.
Peter, she has now claimed her 10th victory over the 720 metres at Wentworth Park, and she basically jumped straight to the front. It was all over shortly after the start, and she ran a new race record in 41.77. She just keeps amazing around the Glebe Circuit.
Yeah, that was an amazing stat, you know, 10 from 10 over the distance. And we're speaking with Jeff Collison down there, who's been covering the greyhounds for, you know, more years than he cares to remember, and Ronnie Arnold, who's been running Wentworth Park there for, you know, just as many years probably. And they were saying that they can't, you know, remember a dog winning 10 from 10. And then the other aspect of the night was that the three siblings making the group final, that was sort of a big effort. And then when they came out and run the trifecta, then, you know, that was sort of off the charts. Yeah, people just can't believe that that's ever been done before. And, you know, we know recently that there's been a couple of very good litters, you know, Poke the Bear and Out of Range down in Melbourne have won, you know, made group finals together. And, of course, Tornado Tears and Rip and Sam have made group finals together. But here, I think it's a bit unique that the three siblings made the group final. And then, yeah, the result was amazing.
and they've trifected it with Poco Dorado beating Blue Moon Rising, and he was able to settle in second position, and Ranichiki race beaten a length and three quarters, and Veloce Nero raced a lot closer this week and was able to fill the trifecta.
The second dog, Blue Moon Rising, he ran a PB over the distance, so a very big PB for him, so that was very pleasing. Poco was just a little bit off. She was one-tenth off her best PB, and Veloce Nero sort of ran just a little bit outside hers as well, but that was, three outstanding runs, 41.77, 41.90 and 42.01 were their three collective times. So, yeah, that's top-notch racing.
Now, as I mentioned, Poco Dorado, she came out in 16.06, which is a little slower for her than normal, but she was able to hold the lead and hold the run in the run to the finish. Now, what about John's thoughts on these dogs going forward? Are they likely to keep clashing, or is he looking at separate paths for the run? Because Poco just seems to be too good for the siblings at the moment, but Blue Moon Rising and Veloce Nero, in any other probably era, they take out the Summer Cup?
It's a wonderful problem to have. I think at the moment, John's of the opinion that at some stage, Veloce Nero is getting, a little bit closer and a little bit closer to Poco Dorado. And Blue Moon Rising, as I said, it was very pleasing for him to race so well and run such a good time the other night. But no, I don't, think splitting them up, as I mentioned before, there's the Pause of Thunder Carnival coming up with, I think it's called the Summer Plate in January. And there's actually a race up at Newcastle at the Gardens on Saturday night, the Newcastle Cup. So at the moment, I think the plans are for the three to clash again up there. They'll all be nominated. So I would think that they'd get runs. At the moment, no, we're not trying to send any dogs anywhere else. It's just one of those things that are going to happen. They'll probably just keep running into each other.
Peter, you think they'll get a run? That's an understatement.
we take nothing for granted.
Well, it's a great problem to have for the owners and John and Minnie Finn as well, but the three of them are absolutely flying at the moment, and we just wanted to get you on this morning to congratulate you on the win again at Poco Dorado and also the achievement. And as you say, the press are really going through the history books to see if greyhounds from the one litter have actually trifected a group race before, and I haven't heard of it in the last so many years that I've been following greyhound racing. I'm sure that it has been done before, but not in recent times.
Yeah, but it's just an amazing outcome for the litter. It's a very good claim to fame to have. We're all everyone associated with them. John, Minnie, they work very hard to always have them at their, absolute top when they go to the races. And so I guess if you do come across accolades along the way, then you happily accept them.
Peter, continued success and good luck with Newcastle coming up later in the week and heading into the new year with this fantastic litter. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
No, pleasure, John. Thank you. Bye.
That's Peter McDermott, the owner of Poco Dorado, Blue Moon Rising, Veloce Nero, amongst others, this great litter that's winning left, right and centre, particularly Poco Dorado, making it 10 from 10 in the Summer Cup final at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Well, as I mentioned at the outset, we had four heats of the Christmas Gift at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Nangar Blaze was the quickest there in 29.85, and the final will be run next Saturday night. The box draw is number one, a Modus Operandi, two Nangar Blaze, three Femme Filet, four Dynamo's Double, five Zombie, six Zipping Mitzi, seven Off the Leash, and eight is My Mate Fox, the reserves Drink Schooners and All on Amy. We've got Zipping Mitzi, current fixed prize favourite at $2.50, Modus Operandi $4, Nangar Blaze at $4.60, Femme Filet at $5.50, Drink Schooners $10, Off the Leash at $14, Zombie at $16, My Mate Fox at $18, Dynamo's Double at $31, and All on Amy at $71. Well, one of the winners there on Saturday night in the heats of the Christmas Gift was down from Queensland, and that was Femme Fillet, trained by Nathan Evans. And a lot of our listeners in New South Wales may not have heard of Nathan before, but we've got Nathan coming online, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his history in greyhound racing and his other profession. Nathan, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Nathan, a win there with Femme Fillet. You came down from Queensland, you left on Friday, and it was basically just a trip away to say that you've had a runner at Wentworth Park. You weren't expecting anything big out of the greyhound. You'd hoped she'd race well, and you've come away with a win in a heat of a Group 3.
Yes, John, that's right. When I started training greyhounds a couple of years ago, I just thought, you know, it'd be good to have a runner at Wentworth Park, one of the main greyhound tracks in Australia. When I got this bitch, I just thought I might get another chance to go to Wentworth Park with the dog. So I thought, oh, she's got the ability to win a race in Sydney, so I'll just take her down. But I didn't expect her to win this week, and I didn't even know there was heaps of a Christmas Cup or anything on. I just nominated, and yeah.
Nice.
Because if I thought she could win, really, I wouldn't have probably tripped down from box five. I just wanted to do it all for experience, that's all.
Well, she's had the 28 starts for 8 wins, 4 seconds and 3 thirds. In her early career, you had her with Tommy Savalas, and then you took over the training yourself and have had a lot of success with her. And she's been a Thursday night winner recently at Albion Park in just over 30 seconds. She's won a couple there in 30 seconds and 30.06. And then recently she won at Ipswich on Ipswich Cup night in 30 and 74. And here she comes out and wins at Wendy in 29 and 97. And realistically, with her box speed, weight she showed on Saturday night, she's in the final with a genuine each-way chance.
Yeah, she is. She hasn't got... she's only had 2 other starts at Box 3, and she hasn't had any luck. But if she begins, because sometimes she doesn't begin that quick like she did Saturday night, if she begins like she did Saturday night and can be in the first 3 without running in any trouble, I expect her to be very hard to beat.
Well, they gave you the visitor's box on Saturday night, box 5, and she was able to overcome that. What do you think? Is she better suited from inside or outside? What is your opinion?
Well, my honest opinion is 8 boxes her favourite because she's so small, she's only like 24 kilos. And if she doesn't find any trouble, even if she's not in front, she can muster them up and run some nice time. But if she draws inside of middle boxes, as long as the dogs beside her don't have early speed and she has a little bit of room early, So I do rather her prefer the outside.
Yeah, but she's all heart, and when she pings the lid, she's off and gone, and they've got to basically catch her. And as you say, she's all heart and can put it all together.
Yes, she's shown like when Tom had her, because Tom bred her, and he told me from when he first started her in that she had some ability, and he actually changed her tactics because she used to wasn't very quick at fly home, and all of a sudden she's got a new trait and jumping quicker. I don't know if being with me and a different lifestyle made her do that, but anyway, it's when you're up front and out of trouble, that's half the battle of a race out of the way.
Nathan, the races I've called her in, I've called her Femme Fillet, making the French aspect of it, and you told me when she started racing what Femme Fillet actually means. You might like to tell our listeners.
Yes, well, when we went and picked her out as a pup, we wanted to pick out a feisty little dog, and she was probably the opposite at the time. She was very friendly, and And then when we used to go visit her every couple of weeks, she was just getting silly and mad. And because she was a bitch, I said to my partner at the time, who still in, and that's my fellow jockey friend, Emma Young, we said, we'll look for a name in a different language for, like, for crazy bitch and see which one sounds all right. Yeah, and we ended up with French, femme filet.
So femme filet is what she got. So it's crazy woman or something like that.
Yeah,
and
crazy, yeah,
she's a... So that's what she got, and she's been racing very, very consistently. Nathan, you just mentioned that you race her in partnership with your fellow jockeys, and as a profession, that is what you are, a jockey.
Yeah, I've been riding and racing since I was 16. I've been riding horses since I could walk, but so I've been riding for about 21 years now.
Where did it all start for you, Nathan, and how many winners have you ridden? Have you kept a tally over the years?
Haven't kept a tally. I started off in Rockhampton as an apprentice because that's where my family. And then I ventured to Melbourne for a few months early in my apprenticeship to Lee Friedman, and then I went back to Rockhampton, and then I ended up in Toowoomba when my boss at the time wanted me to go to his mate in Toowoomba, but I wanted to go to Peter Moody, wanted me in Brisbane, but he said, so if you go to me mate in Toowoomba for a month, you don't like it, I'll let you go to Peter Moody. I liked the lifestyle, so I've been here ever since.
So you're based at Wairima, just outside of Toowoomba?
Yeah, about 10 minutes, yeah, so it's Toowoomba. And yeah, and getting back to how many winners I haven't kept tally. I'd be close to around between the 400 and 500 winners.
You do a lot of travelling, Nathan, around the Darling Downs area, and you're actually riding tomorrow at Dalby. And have you got one for our punters there at Dalby tomorrow to follow?
To follow? Not a horse that I'm riding. No, not the one I'm riding, but I do. I'm the main track work rider for Ben Curry, and he's got a horse in tomorrow called 17 Jets. I think will go really good.
17 Jets. Have you ridden many winners in town, or you had an opportunity to ride many winners in town at all?
Yes, when I was an apprentice, because I was pretty popular as an apprentice, but I struck real good luck a lot of apprentices when I was apprentice in Brisbane. I was with Zach Curtin, Michael Rod, Paul Hammersley, and so. My era was a bit tough, but I did. Yes, I have rode a few winners in Brisbane. I rode one winner in Melbourne as an apprentice, but and as a senior, I haven't really rode a lot in Brisbane. And I did focus a little bit in Toowoomba provincials and that for a while, and then when I sort of got a little bit sick of the game a little bit, I needed another interest, and that's how I ended up in the Greyhounds actually.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you before we wrap the chat up this morning. How did the interest in greyhound racing then come about?
Yeah, well, my friend Emma, she was out injured about 4 years ago, and she was bored, and she was just sitting there watching TV, watching the races all the time. She said, "Oh, we should get a greyhound just for something to watch and go to the races and watch it race." And I said, "Oh, okay," so I just got on the greyhound site for sale, not knowing much about greyhounds, and bought an expensive greyhound. Oh, well, $10,000 for a tried greyhound. Good old Rick and Tommy Savalas trained him for us, but he only had a couple of starts, and his soundness was why he couldn't, he didn't have many starts. And then after that, Tommy actually said to me, "You should just try and train him yourself, see if you can get him to the races." He said, "I can teach you a few things," and which Tommy's been a big influence on my training. And went from there. Well, I couldn't get him to the races, so I I got onto the Greyhound side again. I found two giveaways from a bloke called Shane Thompson in Port Macquarie, and he gave me a dog called Haranui Alyssa, and yeah, she was my first winner, and then it just went from then. Then I had my jockey mates, all the jockeys ran to almost see me train the Greyhound. They wanted to get involved, so then I sort of just got a Greyhound nearly every 6 months, grab one, a cheap boy for them just to have an interest.
And the result now is with Femme Filet, and she's now one ahead of a Group 3 race for you, and let's hope she does well in the final next week.
Yes, so do I. I'm still pinching myself from Saturday night. I can't believe that happened. But, yeah, so I don't... I know if she went on this Saturday night, the celebrations would be pretty big, I'm expecting.
I'm sure they will be. Nathan, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck and good to continue with your Greyhound training, and also riding many winners over the coming months and years.
Okay, thanks, John.
That's Nathan Evans joining us this morning. He's the trainer of Femme Filet, a Queensland Greyhound, coming down to Wentworth Park last Saturday night and taking out a heat of the Group 3 Christmas gift. Well, last Thursday night at Albion Park, they ran the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, and it was taken out by Hasten Slowly, trained by Angela Langton. And Angela's kindly joined us this morning. Angela, good morning to you and congratulations.
Yeah, good morning, John. Great to be here and thanks very much. Still can't wipe the smile off my face.
Angela, did you think the Group 1 or a top grade class group win would ever come with Hasten Slowly?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think the dog's only getting better and better, and he's really starting to hit his peak now. You know, he's a little bit more mature and a little bit older and wiser, and, you know, he's been competing with the best dogs for a long time now, and I think he's gone up a level since, you know, we were up in Brisbane with the Flying Ace Classic. So, you know, I was always hoping that, you know, he would begin well and win a Group 1 race. He really deserved it. He's been in a lot of Group 1 finals now, and he's run some terrific races, and, you know, he's just gotten better and better with experience, I think.
Yeah, well, just looking at his record, he's been the bridesmaid in the 2018 Group 1 Australian Cup, Group 1 National Sprint, Group 1 Top Gun. He ran third in the Silver Bullet. He made the final of the Harrison Dawson, made the final of the Winter Cup at Albion Park, made the Perth Cup Consolation, and he, as you mentioned, he won earlier this year the Group 3 Flying Amy Classic at Albion Park, and he's returned some 6 months later and now taken out the Group 1 Brisbane Cup. And he absolutely flew the lids on Thursday night, straight to the lead. You had Miss Splendor Miro, the favourite, drawn on your immediate inside, and she blew the start on Thursday night, and which was your good fortune. You were able to get plenty of room early, and he was able to push forward, and he raced away to score by 2.5 lengths in very quick time of 29.67, a very polished performance.
Yeah, he had a bit of luck early. You know, I think he's drawn pretty well. The four, I was told, goes straight and stayed off, which he did. And, you know, the one and the two missed it, that little fraction, and that just gave him the room to move. And fortunately for him, he came out running and, you know, he rails very hard. And having the inside, I think once he led, he was always going to be pretty hard to run down. He's very strong at the end as well.
Now, what about plans coming up in the immediate future for Hasten Slowly?
There's probably nothing at the moment we're really looking at. Once February comes around, you know, you've got the Australian Cup again at Meadows, and there's always something coming up. And, you know, February's not far away, so I guess once we get over Christmas, we'll just see what happens. But, you know, he's such a good little dog. He's done so much already. He probably deserves to have a little bit of a rest.
So just give him a little bit of an ease up and follow the group carnival around Australia as they pan out early next year.
Yes, that's probably the go with him. We'll just see what comes up. But, you know, he's done plenty already. He started very young, you know, young in his career because he was pretty smart right from the start. And he's done an awful lot for a young dog. He's not free till the end of February. So we'll probably just see what group races are coming up and then see where we go from there with him.
Angela, it's probably a little bit of a soft spot win for you on Thursday night at Albion Park because you've been living in Victoria for many years now, but you're formerly from Queensland.
Yes, I am. I was born and bred in Queensland, and I only moved down, you know, because I moved in with my partner, Jeff Britton, 14 years ago. But, you know, all my family are up there and a lot of friends, and it's always great to go back up there. I'm very welcomed up there, and, you know, you see a lot of faces that you haven't seen for many years, but everyone stays the same. We all get a little bit older, but it's a terrific chance to catch up with my family and, you know, people that I used to hang around with at the track. You know, we've all grown up together, and it's great to be able to go back up there with a dog and win on it on one of my home tracks. So yeah, it was pretty special for me.
And you've always had the champagne partners syndicate, even when you were racing in Queensland, and that is basically a family concern, you and your mum.
Yeah, mum and I formed the syndicate back when I was 18 years old, so 30 years ago, which is a long time ago. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun. Mum and I talk on the phone two or three times a day, every day. So, you know, we're very close. And my sister and my nieces are involved as well. So, you know, we all get together. And Mum's the genius and behind all the breeding and, you know, the dogs we've had over the years. I find she's very good with the breeding. She studies all the breeding. And, you know, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have half the dogs we've had. And we've had a lot of fun over the years. We've made many group races and we've won quite a few just with our own dogs we've bred. So, you know, we've had a wonderful ride.
Well, Angela, it was great to get the monkey off the back with the Group 1 win of Hasten Slowly on Thursday night. Again, congratulations to you and the family, and many, many winners and continued success down the track.
Thanks very much, John, and yeah, hopefully we'll be up there again.
Look forward to seeing you soon. That's Angela Langton joining us, the winning trainer of Hasten Slowly in the Group 1 Brisbane Cup last Thursday night. A little later on this afternoon at Bathurst, we run the Bathurst Soldier Saddle Final. It's a $10,000 to the winner final, and the two heat winners there were Motor City Gem for Sam Sultana in 30 and 11 and Bogan Villa for Graham Dixon in 30 and 15. So good luck to the Bathurst Club there this afternoon running the Soldier's Saddle Final. Well, coming up next Thursday night in Hobart, in Tassie, the heats of the time on at Hobart 1000. And a greyhound that's taken Hobart by storm over the last 12 months is a greyhound owned in Queensland. Jeff Crawford is the owner of Leroy Rogue and trained by Debbie Cannon in Tasmania for Jeff. And we've got Jeff Crawford coming online to join us this morning. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Jeff, what a great following your greyhound Leroy Rogue. He's become sort of a cult follower over Australia over the last 12 months or so.
He has. He's put a bit of money in a few people's pockets and become a very popular race dog for everyone.
And particularly yours.
Yeah, he's been a very good dog to us. We're very proud to own him and enjoy every moment we have with him and watching him down in Tassie.
Jeff, you started out racing him yourself and the family and in Queensland, and he had starts around Ipswich and Albion Park, but he really took to the straight track at Capella Bar, and he's got a great record up the straight, and he actually holds the track record there at 19 and 22.
Yeah, John. We took him there primarily to re-educate his box manners because he's very keen in the boxes with a run-up lure, and we thought with the drag out in front, it might fix his manners up. And little did we know that he'd become something of a phenomenon up the straight with his straight-line speed and will to chase the drag, and it's become a real good ride up there. So it was a little venture that we took, and it's turned out to be a good result for us.
Now, just over 12 months ago, you decided to send him to Debbie in Tasmania. What was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, credit mainly went to Tom Savalas, who made the suggestion. I had thought about sending him to Victoria to the one-turn tracks down there, and Tom had quite rightly suggested that he'd have an opportunity to become the king of the hill, so to speak, at a track with a nice long back straight where he could offset his box manners and find the top end of the field, and it's worked a treat. So it was a good choice to send him down there in the end, long run.
Well, he's had a lot of racing over the last 12 months down in Tassie, and it's certainly proven the right move because he's won a lot of races down there, feature races as well, and he lines up in a heat of the Hobart 1000 where he's looking for 12 on end this coming Thursday night.
Yeah, it's he's going to be his stiffest test to date, actually. It's a good field. He's drawn a little unfavourably with a couple of real quality dogs in the field, and it's only three sleeps to go. We're very much looking forward to it, but it's certainly going to be a test for him.
He's getting on in years now. What about his long-term future? While he's racing well, I suppose he keeps going?
Yeah, at the moment, from a short-term point of view, we've got the Hobart 1000 in our sights, and hopefully he could get through the final, and then we've got the Devonport Cup heats in January, and after that we'll play it by year. With Capalabar going TAB, it gives us more options now to get a start with him, because more dogs will race in three, four grades there, and it also helped with his longevity. He's a rising five-year-old now, and all good things do come to an end. He's not a machine, and we won't over race him. But while he's got the zest for racing, we'll push forward with him. But Capalabar on the grass up a straight would certainly aid in his longevity. So it's certainly not out of the question to, at some point, bring him home and finish him off where he started.
Well, the Queensland Racing Department announced a big increase in prize money for the Capalabar Cup, which he took out in 2018. It's gone from $7,500 to $37,500 in 2019, but that's in October next year.
It's certainly within our sights. If he's still going well, it's time. We'd love to give him a crack at it, but he'll let us know whether he's going to be right for it or not, but certainly we'll look forward to it.
So just in the near future, you'll still concentrate on races in Tassie with the option of bringing him back to Queensland to possibly see out his career?
For sure. Yep, absolutely.
Now, I mentioned with Kevin at the start of the program the big day we had at Capalabar yesterday, and you were lucky enough to get a winner there with Adhara Steel, and it was like the Capalabar or race day of old there, Jeff, yesterday, with a great crowd on hand and plenty of spirited betting throughout the day on with the TAB Sky and radio coverage for the first time on Capalabar Dogs.
As you said, we're lucky enough to get a winner yesterday, but more importantly, from an industry point of view, it was so positive, the vibe there. Everyone was happy, and we could see a positive outlook ahead for us now. And it was such a great day to be there, and credit to the committee and everyone else associated with getting it to TAB for their perseverance. The industry is going to be very richly rewarded for where we've ended up with Capalabar. It's a wonderful track. It's a great atmosphere, and it's great racing. The dogs love it. It's a good option for a trainer and his or her dog to be able to give them a run up behind a drag and sharpen them up a bit and hone them in. It's a really exciting time now.
All right, Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning. Good luck with your team going forward, and I'm sure Leroy won't let his supporters down. As I said, he's got a great fan base Australia-wide, and we'll be looking forward to him running in the heats of the Hobart 1000 on Thursday night.
Cheers, John. Appreciate it.
That's Jeff Crawford, the owner of Leroy Rogue, who'll be lining up in Tassie Thursday night to try and continue that winning streak. He's up to 11 in a row at the moment. Well, Kevin, that's another edition of Going Greyhounds for this Monday morning. There's plenty of mouthwatering greyhound racing over the next week. We'll report on again next Monday morning.
Lovely. Thank you, John. Enjoy your week. John Brash there with Going Greyhounds. 11:13, we better see what's happening in news and, importantly, the test tenure. Good morning.